We really should be playing the song Money because that's what Fortune Magazine is all about. But guess what? They're taking on another kind of green. Have you seen it? The April issue. Not just a Fortune Magazine, but I think I've counted about 8 or 9 publications that I've picked up with all green issues for, you know, Earth Month. April, that's the time people think about this. But of course, with all the eco challenges this planet is facing, every day needs to be Earth Day, as it is here at EcoTalk. But we're very excited to see Fortune Magazine, you know, corporate business and all that, taking on not only the environment, but putting a provocative title on the cover of their green issue, the only green issue that matters. So we wanted to find out more about what's behind this issue and find out how it's been received. So we are talking to the editor of that issue. She is Kate Murphy, Assistant Managing Director for Fortune Magazine. Welcome to EcoTalk.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Was this the idea of one person, or what made the staff at Fortune, editorial staff, decide it was time to take on environmental issues?
This was very much an idea that had been bubbling around for ages. And as you point out, we're not the first person out there with a green issue. But we have been talking about doing this since, gosh, at least 2005. There's a number of people on the staff who have a keen interest in business and the environment. And it just took a little while for it all to coalesce and to put it together into an issue.
It's taken a while for the environmental movement to coalesce, but it's taken off, and it's great that it's being tracked by major publications like Fortune. So for our listeners who haven't picked it up yet, this may not be, you know, kind of magazine that Air America, EcoTalk listeners usually check out. What's in there that would be of interest?
Well, there's a couple different aspects to it. And just before I go into the issue, if I can just note that even though we've never done a green issue before, the subjects regarding involving business and the environment, you know, have been covered on a fairly regular basis.
That's right.
We did a cover story a couple months ago on Walmart's green initiative. We did some stories about global warming in the early 2000s. The issues having to do with energy and energy efficiency, these are all core business issues as well as being green issues.
Here.
So this is the first green issue. It's not the first time we've tackled green topics. But we start in the issue with a profile of Patagonia, you know, the outdoor wear company.
The greenest company in the land.
Exactly. And then we chose 10 different industries and defined an environmental leader in these 10 different industries. So there's one from the oil industry. We identified Suncor. In the metals industry, we identified Alcan and so on. And finally, we did a profile of DuPont, the bioscience chemicals company based in Delaware, as an exemplar of how you can be in an inherently polluting industry such as chemicals, and yet have actually fairly significant green credentials. That these things are not necessarily opposed. And I think if anything, that's the message that Fortune magazine was trying to get at. You know, as wonderful as companies like Patagonia is, or of you know, seventh generation, a lot of environmental issues are basic to, you know, big industry and to big business, and they can't be tackled without the cooperation of big business. They don't have to be necessarily enemies.
That's exactly what's exciting, is seeing different sectors, you know, banks, you know, having a greener, you know, policy and image.
Yeah, we identified Goldman Sachs as being a leader in banking. Although, interestingly, there's actually going to be a protest at Goldman Sachs, I believe, this month, because they do finance some coal companies, too. But, you know, this is the nature of debate in a healthy society, and I think it's great.
And that big bank is HSBC. They're doing a lot of green outreach.
Right. But, you know, again, I think this is one of the things that we're seeing, is that the you know, greenery, environmentalism, it's moving from the margins to the center of how business thinks about business. You know, part of it, no question, is PR, and that's a good thing. When your shareholders are putting your feet to the fire, that's when you know people are going to be listening.
And I want to just concur with that, and just a quick anecdote. I've been on this beat for, it'll be a decade this Earth Day, and I, you know, been going to green conferences, recycling, you know, conventions for that many years, and I would, you know, watch in frustration as, you know, CEOs from Sony, from Target, from HP, from Starbucks would all be up there. Patagonia, too. But those were unique because, and Patagonia, for different reasons, they'd tell the green crowds about all their environmental initiatives. So I'd go up and say, congratulations, this is terrific. You want to, you know, really let America know that you're proud of your environmental you know, actions and policies and, you know, sponsor my program. We can go from local to national. Mm-hmm. And they'd, oh, we don't really want to talk about it. We don't want to bring attention to it. And it was so frustrating that they wanted to keep it a secret. And that's changed now. And that's a good thing, not just for programs like EcoTalk. But, you know, that's the whole point, is to say this is something we're proud of as a corporate citizen. And we know we're not perfect, because I think there was that concern about being scrutinized and being held up to some high standard. I'd say don't say you're perfect. Just say we're working our way towards a greener tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, and to some extent, I think that was a legitimate concern, that people that, you know, stuck their necks out sometimes got them chopped off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have some sympathy for that.
Mm-hmm. And then Patagonia would say that they didn't think they were doing enough, even though they have always been in their own category. You know, they give their employees 2 months paid leave to go work as an activist somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't think that was enough. So it's like, I can't win here. But I do think overall it's terrific that it's finally happening. That's the point.
Right.
So what's been the reaction to this green issue?
The mail we've been getting is very positive. I guess the chief criticism that I'm getting sort of anecdotally and through emails and letters is, you know, something like, you know, how can you be talking about DuPont as an environmental leader? They make chemicals. And all I can say is to go back to that premise I started with. You know, Fortune is a magazine of business. We live in a world that uses chemicals. We live in a world that uses oil. So if you're going to live in a world that uses these things, why not recognize those companies, you know, that extract and produce them in a better way than others? And so this is the kind of unique selling point of Fortune in the environment. It's about how you can be, you know, a big business in a sometimes dirty industry and still be recognized for doing things the right way as far as you can.
Well, one of the key truths that's come out finally is that, you know, reducing your energy use and reducing waste can help the bottom line.
Yeah, and DuPont has certainly found that. They've, for example, reduced greenhouse gas emissions by 70%, and in doing so have incorporated all sorts of energy efficiency processes that, you know, are now just standard. And DuPont is sort of an interesting story in that, if you recall, in the late 80s, they were very much involved in the argument over chlorofluorocarbons, you know, thinning the ozone layer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as often happens with scientific issues, it takes a while for everyone to agree, or, you know, to some extent anyway, agree on what the problem is and what's to be done. DuPont was the world's largest maker of CFCs, and they were highly resistant to seeing these as an environmental problem. Eventually, they came over to this belief, and then the Montreal Protocol was passed, and it didn't really matter what they thought, that they were being banned in the industrialized world. And they were actually able to come up with a replacement which is not only does not damage the ozone layer, but actually has higher profit margins.
Now they just have to do something.
So they make more money off of it, and they don't damage the ozone layer. And that was a real kind of fall on the road to Damascus moment for DuPont.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
For one thing, you know, they got a really bad public relations ride during this era. And then for the other, just the whole transitioning away from CFCs, I think really opened their minds a lot to the possibilities of looking at things through a different kind of lens.
Then there's the sticky.
Yeah, now I really I don't think this is greenwash on their behalf at all.
What about the Teflon problem?
Well, the Teflon problem, we actually have a short article about that in the thing. I think that's a very tough one to unpick. I don't think it's a slam dunk the way CFCs were.
Okay, so let's look at another interesting case, and that's Walmart.
Right.
What does Fortune magazine think about what they're doing? I think probably what you said earlier, that these companies are there, they're doing business, we're buying their products, so at least the ones that are standing out and trying to green themselves, Walmart certainly is the big elephant in the room, deserves
right.
some applause.
Yeah, we actually, on the retail industry, we chose Tesco in the UK as being the environmental leader. Which they're doing all kinds of interesting things with trying to get their shoppers involved with recycling and changing their supply chain so it's less energy intensive, moving things, for example, on railroads instead of trucks, so that's less greenhouse gas emissions. But no question, I mean, Walmart is the world's biggest retailer, and so their environmental footprint is huge. So you could, when we're discussing this, you know, basically Walmart's initiatives are going to mean more than any other retailer's initiative. The question is, are they serious about it? And the colleague I worked with most closely on this issue is a guy named Mark Gunther, who is based out of Washington. And he's the one that actually did the cover story on Walmart. Mark writes quite a bit about corporate social responsibility issues, and he went in pretty dubious. And he came out thinking that they're sincere. Now, again, this might be the case where whenever Walmart does something, people are going to jump on their necks for not doing more. However, Mark came away being very sincere that their energy efficiency, their wastewater treatment, their recycling initiatives are for real.
We think so, too. We've interviewed Andy Rubin, Vice President of Sustainability, several times, and they're, you know, taking a pretty comprehensive approach, and they're going
really
fairly
are.
Deep.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's not just sort of recycling bins at the door.
No, that
but
wouldn't be enough.
It's sort of about rethinking the supply chain.
Mm-hmm. And their image as well, which can only improve if they take green on in a big way, which they seem to be doing. Thanks so much for your comments and for your green issue. I don't know if it's the only one that matters, but it certainly is a milestone for Fortune magazine to be taking on the environment in this way. So congratulations to you.
Great. Well, thank you so much for having us.
We've been speaking with Kate Murphy, Assistant Managing Director of Fortune magazine. We'll be back right after these messages.